Production. Recorded live.
Hello, my name is Captain Obvious, and as always, I'm here with my guest host, Communicatively Impaired. You're listening to 42 Minutes, where we discuss the answers to life, the universe, and everything. And today is a very special day. We have two of the most influential individuals in the realm of synchromysticism, Steve Wilner and Jake Kotza. How are you, gentlemen?
Good, thank you.
All right, I guess the question I have to ask first is for Steve Wilner, and I know that there's a lot more people who want to know the answer to this question than me. Will you ever make another sync vid, Steve?
Did we lose?
We did not just lose Steve, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, are you serious?
Okay, he'll make it back to the call.
Okay.
So,
God, how that hurts. It just rips my heart out. Anyways, Jake, I guess...
Jake, we were talking a little bit about Madonna and the Super Bowl before we started recording the call. What do you make of all that weirdness and symbolism?
I mean, my personal opinion, I think it's just, I think ancient Egyptian symbolism is, you know, very popular and iconic and striking, and I don't think there's a conscious agenda in these people to use that stuff. Maybe through sync, I do believe that, you know, things are being animated by a force that's beyond our minds, and that, you know, we're all just puppets of that force. But I don't feel like there's a organized conspiracy by elements in the media to influence us and ritualistically portray, you know, these way. I don't know. Having met like people even involved in even these people aren't into that. So why the media industry has this orchestrated agenda to, influence us through rituals like that? I don't see that part of the plot. But I definitely see the universe doing that because there's all these relationships and beautiful entrainments between what we do here on Earth and the subtle spiritual realms.
We live in an esoteric reality, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. I mean, you could... Well, the mundane is only the mundane because of an opinion, you know.
But so then do you read this kind of as like the architecture of the universe, and that no matter what you create, the kind of symbols and archetypes are just going to come, they're going to come out, and as people who are trying to be symbolically literal, we just see the footprint of Steve Wilner's Big Daddy Sapien?
Yeah, you know, and when you're doing, you know, something like the Super Bowl, it's being watched by the whole planet, so it's a big deal in consciousness, right? So the themes that come up will entrain with key facets of our collective psyche, you know. So it will be like symbols that resonate the divine and our history here on Earth and the relationships we have to the cosmos and stuff like that. And you know, ancient Egypt, where they were doing the same thing. So I think the ancient Egyptians were entraining as much with the force that Madonna and them are entraining with. Not like Madonna and them trying to copy them. This same source is manifesting Madonna and those people on stage as is manifesting ancient Egypt, you know. And they're intimately related. And I don't think the one is trying to emulate the other. It's the same system, you know.
Hey, Steve, are you on the call now? Steve Wilner?
That's devastating.
Well, who's guest number six? Do you have any idea, Gabe or Doug?
I have no
idea.
Hi, who's guest number six? Do you want to talk a little bit? This is the first time we've had a caller.
Hey, this is Tommy. What's up?
This is what?
Tommy. Talk.
Tommy!
Oh, Tommy.
Tommy Folks.
Hey. I was trying to just listen, but I accidentally called in, and I've been on the call for like a long time. But
cool.
I can't listen otherwise on my phone. I'll stay in the background. I won't. You know.
Do you have anything that you would like to ask? Jake, at all, right off the top of your head?
Not really. I mean, everything's cool, so I'm not really, you know.
Jake, I got a question for you, man. I've heard people call, actually, I've heard people say that you and Steve are Illuminati. What do you think about that concept of how this, like, snake bites its own tail? People who are disseminating this information end up being accused of the caretakers of it.
Well, it makes sense. But, it really depends on what you define as Illuminati. I mean, that seems so vague. You know, what people associate to that can be anything from, you know, a human conspiracy that's, you know, only in recent times, or people will go, no, it's a trans-dimensional thing from, you know, the before we were even seated on this planet, or they'll go, no, it's wizards on the dark side of the moon. Yeah, you know, it could be anything that people associate to the Illuminati. So, you know, it depends on how you define that. You know, my definition of the Illuminati is enlightened people, you know. People who are involved in, I feel like the ancient sages or the Buddha, or these people are to me the Illuminati, not the conspiracy types. You know, maybe some fraternal people have been involved in enlightenment and then they get associated to that. But my definition of the Illuminati is not a conspiratorial sort of thing. It's the same kind of thing I would associate with Christ or Buddha or that kind of thing. The sort of just the being aware of, the environment and the individual at the same time, that kind of makes you an Illuminati in my mind. So,
in Steve's chapter of the Sync book, Jake, he does a real nice job of like demystifying conspiracy by showing how the roots of the word con, which means with, and spire, which means breath. So he says conspire means breathing together, the breath of interactions between the hemispheres of the brain, between the polarities. And then he also shows how at the heart of conspire is the word pi, you know, even in piracy, pi is the light and the shadow. So,
it's funny,
although we don't have Steve on the call, we've got his...
As you say the word pi, you know, I'm just staring off into space in the room I'm sitting, and my roommate has a box here that her Pilates yoga ball came in, and, you know, the word pi is in Pilates. So as you were saying the word pi, that's exactly what I was looking at, was the word pi. So it's just, you know, it's a little think.
What is the concept of pi? I know that you've been going off and how much you think it has in relationship to 2012.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to do with dates. Just the number 227, for me at this point, my relationship to pi is about the number 227. You know, if you write 22 over 7, that's pi. So the number
227. Hey, guys.
Resonating pi.
Back on, I think.
Oh, good.
Steve,
okay.
Hey, guys.
Are you with
Sorry
me?
About that. Yeah.
Before we go back to what Jake was just talking, I got to re-ask my question, dude, because I was really anticipating an answer. Will you ever make another sync vid?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well, how about let's see it differently? What are you working on right now? Because I was watching the one that you put out, is it May of last year? The thing is incredible. You know, I can only imagine how many hours a video like that takes.
It's like you're
actually
trying to program more than you're trying to deprogram people, though. I mean, not in a bad sense, but it seems like your newer vids seem to have subliminal messaging in them instead of extracting subliminal.
They do have subliminals, but they're not put there nefariously. I mean, they're just sort of stream of consciousness, sort of baby steps to telepathy with my personal narrative. It's like stuff coming from my consciousness that's just rapid fire, you know, rapid fire for your eyes. It's not anything to like take power away from people. It's just aesthetically a way for me to communicate without words very quickly in a compression, which is what I think we're moving into anyway as time progresses.
So are you working on something?
Yeah, I've got several videos in queue. Some sync stuff, sure. I've got, you know, a lot of just pieces of videos that I haven't completed over the years. But I mean, this last year, like you said, it seems like it takes a long time to do them. It does. It requires me to have a lot of free time off work and everything else to sit down and do them all. But yeah, I mean, I'm 29 years old. I'm going to be doing this my entire life. So yeah, there's going to be many more.
Well, so it's interesting because, like, before, it seemed like the movement was trying to understand what the hell we're talking about. But now, I mean, you're making high synchromistic art. It's the only way I can say it. I mean, this is like the pinnacle of synchromistic arts right now, the new Steve Wilner videos.
They're just aesthetically, like I said, like a representation of what I view as a baby step towards being telepathic with people on the internet. And the internet I always thought was a tool to help us get to a type one civilization. So yeah, I guess I wanted to push that boundary and see how far I can take it. And I still obviously haven't pushed it as far as I think I can, but you know, there's also a point where it gets too much. It's like the broadcast level has to be at the same wavelength that people are at. Otherwise they'll pop just like Neo did in the Matrix, I guess. And so I want to back it down a little bit and just do some simple like language cracking, like I did on my, podcast with Will and make some of those into video form, because those are fun. I just want to be light this year, have a lot of levity in my work, nothing too serious or dramatic.
Well, you kind of, in your sync book piece, you kind of led on to the fact that sync is a form of evolution. Is that how you see it through through language, basically, is what I got out of it, through the free associative and synchromistic, or how you say Kantian synchromystical mind frame is a sort of evolution on our way to Big Daddy Sapien.
I just view it as breadcrumbs to an original source, original point. And you could use mathematics or music or language and to try to find the root cause of how we communicate and how we came to the moment of consciousness and realization that we are alive and breathing. And so you could use any medium that we take for granted today, you know, such as speech or such as music or, you know, anything that you can find in pop culture. And it's not really an evolution. It's kind of a regression. I'm trying to find the original point where the first conscious being opened its eyes and just saw it was itself, around itself. So it's sort of like finding the God code.
If you're just turning in or you realize we had some technical difficulties at the beginning, this is 42 minutes. We're talking to Steve Wilner and Jake Casa, two individuals who are between the time period of around 2006 and 2008. I think that's the correct date, around the back end of 2008. They produced these large quantities of videos that were hosted on YouTube up underneath the channels of Soundless Dawn and Feline. Very influential. Are you guys aware of how much influence between those videos, you guys? I mean, there was a time period where you guys were pounding out videos. At least, I know Steve was only on, a bi-weekly level. I mean, how has your perception of what you were dealing with now changed from then till 2012?
Who are you asking?
Jake. Jake hasn't talked for a while. I mean, how do you see this a lot different than when you started?
Yeah, constantly evolving for me, and you know, the form of the video, I love the form of the video. I think it's amazing, and you know, I'm so much into movies, so the idea of the moving image and how that syncs found to me film, I think, is, you know, really, it's to me the truest religion on this planet is film. It's you know, it's a ritual to watch a movie, but definitely for me the focus on my sync work is sort of more Twitter and the real time sharing syncs in your life and sort of interacting with people at real time throughout the day and sort of building that community of sharing sync real time. I think the internet is this powerful thing of making your life into a kind of documentary, you and the people around you into a live documentary of your life, and you can sort of include people in that and expand your sphere with you know, other people. And just, I feel like, to me, that's where my emphasis on sync is at this point, with sharing the moment to moment, being in awe of the universe and syncing with things happening, kind of thing.
and videos still come out from time to time, but they're very different, and there's technical reasons for that, and there's aesthetic reasons for that, and, you know, I still plan to make lots of sync videos and, you know, epic film-length features and stuff like that as well. There's lots of ambition, and there's lots of time for that as well, but for me, the emphasis definitely is, you know, real-time syncing with people in any means, you know, Facebook and Twitter and blogs. That's to me where it's at for me.
Steve, how has your perception of change?
I mean, I certainly noticed the ripples that the videos caused when we first started making them in bulk, and like you said, just putting them out more often. I just kind of wanted to help the original wave form into something that could have a lot of momentum behind it. And so now I'm having the dormant period of watching what that wave did and how you say it, things got mainstream. And, you know, Katsu's got the right idea. That Twitter is sort of a reflection of this infinite compression, this time wave zero thing, because they're happening so rapidly now. And because the original wave was so effective, we have so many other bloggers and people making videos in this sort of second generation of sync, whatever you might want to call that. I kind of just am really appeased and happy to watch that unfold and just know that I was a part helping that wave, you know, rise to the peaks that it has. And in the future, I could watch that wave, you know, hit the shore and watch the evolution of a new one forming and be a part of that one. And I do feel like that time's coming soon. But, you know, it is speeding up so rapidly and the syncs happen so frequently now that if you're not doing community building and like Twitter, like Jake's doing, then it's kind of hard to express it to people that are outside of that loop. But I mean, as we approach sort of the singularity point, I think it'll be much easier for people to breach into our little worlds and you know, be able to broadcast with us and sort of share in the experience. More and more people, you know, will be able to handle it without overloading our circuits, and it's going to be pretty phenomenal experience, I think.
I seem to remember a video where there was narration by you, Jake, and Christopher Knowles. Am I dreaming that, or who made that video? Or was it just a couple of you?
Jake and I did five or six where we did voiceovers together. I think the one with Christopher Knowles was just me and Christopher. That was had to do with a comic book hero symbolism, so I wanted to have him come on and do some voiceovers about Green Lantern and sort of the Green Masonic Cosmic Brotherhood. But yeah, Jake and I had fun. We did about five or six, and then we sort of just split off into our different camps, and he's been doing some awesome sync vids as well, and him and Jim Sanders, and Gators is still, his blog that he writes on is still incredible. He still comes up with really, really cool stuff. But yeah, we had a lot of fun when we made those. I think that was like 2009.
Yeah.
It's funny when we hear people talk about like classic Kotze or classic Wilner videos, because it definitely is a moment in time, and you guys have both evolved. Like, as far as an initiatory or introductory beginning, that they're perfect videos. So it's interesting because people are almost angry that you stopped making, like, you evolved a little bit. But then, like you said, Steve, they're making their own, you know, it's the next generation, so it works out.
Sure. People have to understand personal circumstance and things like that. When you're making videos, or at least when I was, I was way more in the head than I should be for my health. I needed to get more into the body, more grounded, you know, start eating raw foods and vegetables, get out and see the sun and exercise more. When you're in like a really heady sync space, at least like when I was fully enamored with it, I wasn't. I was in a total intellect space, and it wasn't my personal, you know, healthiest I've ever been. So I feel a lot better now. So the next time I start doing this again, it's going to be a lot more grounded and centered and heart anchored, I think.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you guys for the sacrifices that you've made. I mean, I know how much sync is important to me, and I know that it's influenced so many other people, but like you said, with your personal life, I'm sure that there were some things that you kind of had to sacrifice to get out what you were getting out, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'd like to also bring up the topic. It seems that language was a big subject in your piece of the Sync book. And it's weird because I've been thinking personally with this idea of rearranging. You know, I see, like, I saw it in Percy Jackson recently. My kids picked up the Muppets from Outer Space just on a whim the other day, and I was watching it, and Gonzo sees messages in his cereal. And, you know how the messages realign and stuff, and in the movie The Knowing, which I rewatched, the whole point of the EE being flipped around, the classic Wii 3 spinner, and how that's the connection between the aliens, the communication of the aliens, and how they say the people who hear the voices are the ones who will ascend. I mean, how do you see language playing a role in this, Steve?
I'm sorry, I can't. You got Grover into my head, so now I'm thinking about big blue Grover and his little hook J nose, and how Jupiter is always the strange attractor. So, you know, you have J.J. Abrams and all the supernatural shows that he has on TV. I think he's got Alcatraz out now, right? Where people just spontaneously
Dog Star.
That's the Dog Star, yeah. That's happened to me before.
it happens to me all the time.
I'm having a deja vu.
What, you were saying J.J. Abrams and Alcatraz?
Recently there's been some strange entrainment with the sync community and, like, actual TV shows that pop consciousness or the consensus is ready to handle is still a little bit with training wheels. Like, they're still not quite, where the sync community would be at. But it's interesting to see, like, shows like Fringe and now this new show, Touch.
Stop.
And these sort of new...
Stop!
Sorry.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that these new shows are starting to catch up with the sync community as far as otherness, as far as, like you said, ascension. The narratives and motifs in these shows are in training with the sync community, but they're also, sort of a little bit watered down, sort of like the Ancient Alien show on the History Channel. So,
right.
You know, that the collective can sort of understand it and make it a little bit more palatable for everyone. But that's also speeding up as well. And I don't know, I don't even know how I got on this topic, but I just thought it was interesting that Danny Glover, some of the subtle resonations with Jupiter that I find are the most fun, because, you know, the blatantly obvious ones are blatantly obvious. And he's in The Color Purple. And as far as Jupiter is resonating with the throat chakra and also The Color Purple and the heart and the Tin Man. And so you have Danny Glover. So the shorthand word for Jupiter is Jove, or love, or J-love, or glove, so the Glover. And he's talking about, you know, Fibonacci patterns and how pi is basically the underwriting mathematical numerical system for creation, for, you know, spontaneous creation out of the void. And he gives this big dialogue in the TV series Touch that kind of explains that, which is basically a TV show about synchromysticism. And the little boy that's able to see these patterns' name is Jake, which I thought was pretty cool. And Jake already wrote about that, I believe, on his blog. And
and it's interesting because we were talking about pi, right? And Danny Glover's birthday is 22/7, you know, the 7th of July, right? So he's dealing with pi in Touch, or Fibonacci ratio and the spiral and all these, you know, sort of sacred relationships, and his birthday happens to be on pi. And that Danny Glover was the actual actor who got me onto pi recently before I'd seen Touch. And I haven't synced with Danny Glover in many years, so it was just interesting to, you know, see how sync had already started resonating with the themes in Touch before Touch even I became aware of Touch. So, you know, it's just very tight syncs about that show, which is about sync. So it's really nice stuff.
That
right, I
bring something that is interesting to me, Jake, is that your work really has shifted to a kind of now centered thing where the birthwork, how can you speak to this a little bit? The idea of, like, these the fractal mapping that you're doing, where you're connecting the now to the birthday of the individuals that are, like, right now.
Well, it seems to me just a very natural progression because, you know, the stars, these are things in the heavens, and the orbit of us around our star is what gives you your birthday, you know? So the idea of a star's birthday being significant and a marker just seems very obvious. And, I mean, it came through Sync. It was, like, by consistently looking into actors or watching their films on their birthday and just realizing that by checking out their birthdays, I just became more and more aware of there being a relationship to the point now where I see a movie, it's almost a given that that person's birthday or somebody in that film that I'm watching's birthday is that week. This week I watched Jurassic Park, and then 2 days later was Laura Dern's birthday, and that kind of thing is happening all the time. So now I'm even consciously doing it where I'll watch a movie specifically because it's this person's birthday, and then it just seems like that those syncs just pop even more, and it's just this new level of entrainment. So I find it very helpful.
I mean, it's only like a 1 in 365 degree chance.
Yeah.
That you're going to get. I mean, there's only 365 birthdays possible. But, you know, we were talking about, it was Danny Glover that started this because it was that Without a Paddle and that fishing movie with Danny Glover and Joe Pesci. And you realize that both of them had the fish with the Pisces on the poster, and both
That's
of
right.
them had birthdays that were a day apart.
That's right. It was so. Yeah, so Danny Glover, again, basically, that's the first one I remember, like really, that stood out a lot for me. It was sort of nailed with Audrey Hepburn because the same thing happened with her. But, yeah, it was Seth Green and Danny Glover. I think they're born like a day apart, and or at least I noticed on the same day that, no, they're not born a day apart. We just covered that. Seth Green's birthday was this week, right? And it was just sort of realizing that they're both in the same film and that they're both, you know, born on significant dates.
So this is all developing organically. I know, like, we're your process is something that's unfolding, and everyone's process is unfolding. But do you think the birthday work is going to lead to anything larger, or is it just a reflection of the now? And so you're reinforcing the idea of synchromysticism by showing how wherever your gaze is now.
I just think it's I don't know, it feels to me like a logical evolution process, and I don't know where it's going. I feel like there are things that will come up that will just keep pushing the envelope and just make it more dynamic, and it'll seem obvious in looking back at these new developments. So.
But you're not feeding this information into a computer, and pretty soon you'll have an accurate model of the universe.
No, but it's interesting. Like, recently I was looking at, on Groundhog's Day, you know, it was Groundhog's Day, like, the film is Bill Murray. And then if you look at the Wheel of the Year, you know, the cross-quarter days, like, if you take a year and you dissect it into the solstice and the equinox, and then you dissect it again, then you get 8 points. You know, you got 4 points with the solstice and the equinox, but halfway between those, you have points as well, you know, midsummer and midwinter and that kind of stuff. So you have Groundhog's Day as one of these cross-quarter points. And then you look at Bill Murray's birthday, which is September 21st, and that's another cross-quarter day. So it's clear that there's a whole geometry, you know, in beautiful relationships between the birthdays and the movies and the kinds of roles they choose. You know, so we've only scratched the surface of looking into this, and, you know, there would be very harmonious things coming out. And, you know, now we're starting to realize, okay, people who are, you know, in movies together share birthdays, or that they share astrological symbols. There's so much depth in that area. I don't think we've even begun to, you know, really appreciate it.
See, I mean, that's the cool thing that we were talking about, the old school style of sync did, but the way that it has progressed now. I mean, when people have a conceptualization of what it actually means, like a villain, say that it is the Illuminati or whatever, they tend to only see things that relate to that. But you two have recently, or more recently, pushed the boundaries of what is acceptable to free associate. A good example, again, would be the Sync book, Steve, and your breakdowns. You go breakdown after breakdown of words where you're just picking it apart and really, like, stepping into this, like, almost psychedelic headspace. I mean, are these just notes that you've taken? Do you have, like, a whole bunch of these that you're ready to unleash on the world?
they just come kind of, you know, at the moment I'm thinking about them. Like right now I'm thinking about the significance of birthdays and stars, and, you know, astrologically speaking, the reason why it's interesting to me is because they're the micro stars on our stage, you know, mimicking the heavens. So like their entry points into the world would be significant, and their appearance on the stage, whatever movie that they're in, is a strange attractor for otherness sometimes. And, you know, like Danny Glover was in Predators, and he was the president in 2012, the film 2012. Yeah. So, I mean, when they resonate with planets and things of celestial nature in the macro universe, it tends to show up in their films like over and over again. And Jupiter is the planet of otherness. It's a planet of a sort of spiritual ascension. And, you know, he resonates with the throat chakra and the color purple, because Oprah Winfrey tries to cut his throat with a razor. So you have just subtle things like that. And as far as like language cracking, that's just, again, it's just trying to find the breadcrumbs of the source of the original language and where that came from. Like when the vowels were inserted, when humans, primitive humans, were able to communicate for the first time. And so, you know, we've created lots of new words in the encyclopedia. We've expounded on our language quite a bit since the origin of it. But all of those original essences are there. So in doing that, in breaking them apart and using them in any way possible, very right-brained, very almost autistic, and, you know, placing things together that do make sense to in a certain way, and to others can seem completely out of the ordinary. There is actually a syntax within that people in communities like the Sync communities, and even everyone in the world, could use as sort of a legend or guide to find the original concept of speech, of music, of everything. So, you know, you can discard the parts that don't make any, you know, have any true syntax or meaning to you, and then move along. But I'm fairly certain that if you observe anything long enough, you'll find a pattern that's significant to you in some way. So, I don't think there's any kind of ceiling on it. That's why I've always liked doing it. You can just keep expanding upon it over and over again.
Another question. I don't know what we're doing on time, though. We probably have a good 10 minutes left, but you were off the call when I asked this to Jake. I had somebody actually call me up and tell me that you were part of the Illuminati one time. What would you say to that?
I am.
Yay, that was a fucking fantastic answer. No, I don't know. I was reading Philip K. Dick, and he was talking about how language is almost like a disinhibitor. Like, and I think Grant Morrison in his book about the invisibles also brought forth this concept that when you see certain symbols like the fish symbol or read certain words, that it expands your brain and gives you some kind of program that lay dormant because of your ego. And there's some kind of, you know, right brain, left brain crossover involved with that, of how our perception of reality is based off of language because of our left brain, and it's the right brain that is, you know, connected. It's the one that our dream symbolism comes from, where we're all have the same root source. I mean, what would you say to that? Steve, I'll pick a name.
Could you rephrase that, or just state it again, like in a smaller sentence?
Well, what do you have? What does this have to do with left brain and right brain?
Right brain is just your more creative aspect. It's the more you know, non-rule restrictive area, and your left brain is more structure, engineering, that kind of a thing. And there's a little bit of bolt and sink, obviously, but like the right brain, I feel is the one that can get into the no mind sequence the easiest or the quickest. And that's what I do when I'm writing music or when I'm making a sync video, is I try to create intentionally, but also create from a space that's not being guided by my hand directly, or at least it doesn't feel like it is. It almost feels like a phantom limb coming in. And that's a download, I feel. It's like you're just trying to focus in on a frequency of all the consciousness on the planet and even beyond that. And when you do that, you know, things come out of nothing. You become a pure creational force. And, you know, you're definitely using media, and you're using programs that have engineering restrictions and have more left brain restrictions, but you're doing the best that you can within those parameters to break all the rules that you can. So yeah, that's the goal, is to break every rule within the structure that you're in until you can find a new space to work in.
You're speaking about goal, and there's a great quote from your piece in the Think Book that says, "The pyramids are an architectural depiction of the Superman." I've never read that in any book. I just know it. So do you think that is the process of individuation, this becoming the Superman?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. If you come to an actualization like that and you don't need anybody else's help to arrive there, yeah, that's what it is. And if everybody did that on an individual level, very quickly the engineering aspects of the left brain would have to give way to the creative aspect of having a blank canvas in front of everyone, like all 7 billion of us on the planet, and being able to make whatever we want with that. And we have that right now. We have that ability right now. But, you know, well, I'm patient to watch that unfold naturally.
Jake, could you speak to that idea a little bit?
Well, the only thing I'm thinking about right now before this language talk is about how I feel like, you know, sync is changing language. It definitely has changed my perception of when I look at words now. You know, I immediately see anagrams and I see, you know, other words inside those words, and those relationships seem to be meaningful, you know. So my perception of language itself has changed. When I hear words or see words in my environment, there's more information in there. So it's sort of like sync has accelerated and updated the software that I use to understand the words, and even individual letters or figures or whatever now contain more information. You know, you got things that, like the Wii 3 spinner, where W looks like threes and M's and that kind of thing, and, you know, other subtle things where you see in the Jupiter symbol the 4 and the 2. It's like individual glyphs, you can unpack them. So there's so much information inside words that wasn't there before, and this is completely valid and logical and rational to me, and that stuff is really great. And it feels like the conventions that we use to understand language to begin with, you know, had gone through the same process as it's going through now with sync. That's like giving it more depth. So I feel like, you know, we're reaching a stage now where, you know, sync is part of an evolutionary process, and it's just adding so much texture to the experience that we have from day to day. And even language is changing my personal interaction with language and words and symbols has really dramatically altered in the last couple of years. So I think we're going through an amazing acceleration process, and language is changing. And I think a lot of that is going to be because of sync. You know, people will have a new understanding of language and even new sets of symbols, you know. I think of the 2-7 thing that Nexus of Sync made. You know, it's like it's a symbol for the moon that didn't exist before. But when I look at that, I think of the moon, and there's a small group of people who look at that symbol, and it's a completely new, there's no like occult history of using that symbol. And I feel like we're free to make these new sets, and I think that's where they came from, just moments where, you know, communities of alchemists and people came together and had, you know, just a heavy degree of an enlightening experience with the universe, and it just gave us new sets of tools to understand things. And sync is, to me, a legitimate, you know, movement of alchemists that have, you know, revivified our relationship to symbols, and it's a dynamic process. So I think we're going to get lots of new depth to our language and new even symbols to interact with, you know. And that might even just be the tip of the iceberg, really.
The curiosity in recording this show is that anytime someone says think on the air with a TH, it comes across as sync. And so there's this blurring of what the actual process is. But so we're running out of time, guys. This has been a great 42 minutes. Could you, you know, take a moment and tell us where our listeners and guests can find your work, Jake, and then Steve?
Yeah, my Twitter account is Celine, so at Celine, and the blog I've been writing for a couple of years now is the Sinkhole, you know, with Will there as well. So yeah, the Sinkhole. If you just Google that, and at Celine on Twitter, that's where I put my emphasis now. So yeah.
And if someone wanted to find some of your older videos, is there a spot they can go to for that?
I think Celine on YouTube is also where the videos are at. And if one went to I think the or if you go to make it complicated, if one goes to the blob, you know, my previous blog, the blob. If you went to the sidebar there would be like a couple of links to sites with videos. because of restrictions on YouTube, things kind of got split up there towards the end. So there are some videos all over the place. But if you went to the blob and you scroll down the side, there would be like videos section there.
What about you, Steve? Where can we find your videos and your musings?
YouTube, it's just YouTube/soundlessdon. And you could just check my blog at labyrinthofthepsychonaut@blogspot.com.
Cool. Okay, so well, let's do something real serious here at the end, right? You know, now that we have no time. What happens this year in the election? Do we have a Mormon president? Is it Battlefield Earth? Is this what's coming?
Wait a minute. Don't do that.
All right. Well, how do you want to send us out?
Well,
we got a minute left.
How much time do we got left? How much time?
A minute left?
Well, I mean, all I can really do at that point is to thank Jake and Jim, or Jake and Jim. Jesus, they're like the same person nowadays. To thank Jim, or Jake, Jesus. Thank Jake and thank Steve for all their hard work and everything that they've done for us. And on behalf of everybody in the Think community, gentlemen, you've done a fine job.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
And if you don't mind, we would like to step over into Skype and kind of wind down with you guys for a little bit longer.
Sure.
We'll see you there. Take care.
Oh, and then we'll talk about Battlefield Earth. Is that what you're saying, Will?
You can talk about Mormons all you want.
So it's Mormons and Scientologists is where I'm going.
I'm excited.
All right. That should be a minute, man, and I'll talk to you guys very soon.
Not a minute. We got 30 seconds, you know, if we're going to hit our 42. This is so painful. Like, and then in New York, what did you do? 36 minutes, we're standing at Jake Kotz's Millennium Tower, and you totally blew it.
Don't yell at me in front of guests.
All right, that's it, guys. That was fun. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Bye.